Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Well, as we speak, there is still so much up in the air. So to discuss, we have one of the best content creators on Raiders Twitter, Ryan Holmes. Good afternoon, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm ready for some movement, either on the general manager or the coaching front. It seems like the Raiders are taking their sweet time, and we won't know anything until probably next week as we head into February, which sounds weird.
Now, we're going to take a victory. Well, you can take a victory lap here because you were the first person that mentioned the name Ed Dodds to anyone ever. Like, it just, because I saw a tweet and somebody said, well, nobody's going to talk about Ed Dodds. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, we were on him back in early December.
Exactly. What do you think his chances are right now?
I think his chances are pretty good. I think, I was trying to connect dots again this morning. You know, obviously the Raider ties that I didn't know about when I went into researching him only help here. It seems like Mark Davis is trying to get some interviews out of the way here up front before he hones in on his real targets. Obviously, they have to satisfy the Rooney Rule, not saying that those other minority candidates aren't candidates. They very well could be. But I think there's obviously some sort of direction here for Mark Davis, and I think this is going to lead into probably later this week and over the weekend when you start to really hear some bigger names come in. But, you know, Ed Dodds is someone whose career that I follow just because of what he was able to accomplish in Seattle and obviously what they've done over in Indianapolis. I think the Hard Knocks show this year really opened it up, you know, seeing what's going on behind the scenes in Indianapolis, talking about Chris Ballard, Ed Dowd, some of the position coaches. You got to see what it looked like in a first-rate organization. And this morning I had a weird feeling. Another guy that I've loved is Bubba Ventrone, the special teams coach from the Colts, and I saw Albert Breer connected them. If Harbaugh doesn't come, he threw out the name Bubba Ventrone as a dark horse here as a connection to Ed Dodds, which I wouldn't be against. I think that guy's going to be a really good head coach. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm checking Twitter just like you every 5 minutes. What are the updates? Who's interviewing? And just waiting for something to happen.
Now, say if it is Dodd, how soon do you think it will take for him to act on a head coach?
For the timeline, the way it currently looks, Dodds is going to come in at the end of this week, probably Thursday or Friday. They haven't set a definitive date. Let's just assume it's Friday. I think it's going to roll into next week. Hopefully they have an announcement by early next week, Monday or Tuesday, on the GM. And then we're probably going to take another 3 or 4 days for him to interview candidates. So you're probably looking at hopefully a GM by Monday or Tuesday and a head coach by the following weekend, which would be the first weekend of February. That's kind of what it's all looking like. Because I don't think the NFL is going to want a lot of these searches to go into the week of the Super Bowl. The last thing the NFL wants is a bunch of teams naming head coaches on Tuesday or Wednesday of Super Bowl week.
Now, we had heard smoke regarding Jim Harbaugh early. Now there's, you know, light rumors about Josh McDaniels or Sean Payton just stepped away from the Saints. Where do you see it going? Like, gut feeling?
My gut feeling still tells me it's Harbaugh. Everything's lining up as far as if Dodds comes. Harbaugh hasn't signed that extension. It's been on his desk now for 3 weeks per reports. If you think he was just going to go back to Michigan, why has he not signed it? Part of me believes Harbaugh might be trying to do a solid here for Michigan, try to get some of these recruits in. You got to remember, signing day is in early February. I want to say it's February 1st or 2nd, so it's about a week away. Maybe Harbaugh's like trying to slow play this as well so Michigan doesn't lose a bunch of recruits right at the end, because that's his alma mater. If he's going to leave, he's going to try to help them out, although there's probably ways for kids to get out of those letters of intent if he does leave now with a transfer portal. But you know, everything to me still says Harbaugh. You haven't seen Vic Fangio's name come up anywhere else. He's not interviewing for defensive coordinator positions. Pep Hamilton's turning down jobs. Vegas, every time I check the Vegas odds, they're improving. So, you know, Harbaugh went from like plus 250 to plus 175, and yesterday it's plus 125. So I'm going to trust the people out in the desert that set the odds of these casinos, that they know what they're talking about. It's almost even money at this point. He's by far the leading candidate, according to the gambling websites.
What do you think it would take for Michigan to keep him?
Well, he's going to go back to Michigan if he doesn't get the offer he wants. You hear a lot about people saying, well, Harbaugh's using the Raiders for leverage. He doesn't need the Raiders for leverage. He's the 11th highest paid coach in the Big Ten. He took his team to the Final Four, basically. He won the Big Ten championship game. He's not making what he's earned. He could go back to Michigan, and he has every right to make $8 to $10 million based on what he did on the field this year. So the Raiders' job does not help him get more money from Michigan, in my opinion. If they were going to pony up to pay him what he's worth, then they would do that, regardless of whether he'd be going for an NFL job. So I think the only way he goes back is if he doesn't get the offer he wants from the Raiders. And now you're hearing a little bit about him to the Vikings, but I think clearly, in my opinion, D'Amico Ryans is now the front runner with the Vikings based on their GM hire that it looks like they're going to make today. And another guy that we previewed, Adolfo Menso, coming over from the Browns, who did work for the 49ers. So it seems like those five guys we talked about back in early December have all landed, are going to land jobs or get nice contract extensions from the organizations they're currently with, like Will McClay, who was our number one candidate.
Now, when we come back from break, we have two intriguing questions about the future on the field. You're listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Aaron Spades, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, Derek Carr, he's proven 8 years. He is a good quarterback. Is he a championship quarterback? Is he the guy? What do you think?
In my opinion, he's good enough to get you to the playoffs. I think he's proven that if enough things around him go right. And this year, obviously, they didn't, and he still got him there. Is he a guy that is going to take you deep in the playoffs to the AFC Championship game? Is he going to compete at the level that we saw? I mean, watching Mahomes and Allen, that was ridiculous. And then you factor in, you know, I know Raider fans hate Herbert, but Herbert's a better quarterback than Derek Carr. He just is. And he's only in his second year. And then you have to factor in Joe Burrow. Where is he at? He's in his second year. Look around the AFC. Where's Lamar Jackson? Like, is he going to compete against these guys year in and year out? I don't think that he can. So, you know, if they just want to, you know, maintain kind of where they're at, you know, get into the playoffs, you know, try to compete to win a game or two, yeah, you could do that with Derek Carr. Is Derek Carr going to win you a Super Bowl at this point? Not unless the roster around him is elite. And I don't think the Raiders are in a position to have an elite roster in the next 3 or 4 years. And you have to look at windows. His window, Derek Carr, is probably over the next, you know, 3 to 4 years until he gets into his mid-30s. So can the Raiders roster get to the level it needs to be with him over the next 3 or 4 years is the question. If the Raiders think that they can, then they'll probably extend him. If they don't think they can, then they may let him play out this year, or they may try to move him. You don't need a full reset here. I know a lot of Raider fans are afraid they're going to go back to winning 3 or 4 games if they move on from Derek Carr. I don't think that's the case. I think there's enough on this roster with a competent quarterback to do similar to what happened. So we're going to see. This is going to be fascinating to see how this plays out.
You have Mac Jones, Josh Allen. You have Lamar Jackson. You have Joe Burrow. That's four in the conference right there. If you add in Mahomes and Herbert, that's six. Six right there. Without,
I don't know what's going to happen with Trevor Lawrence. Like, are exactly. They going to get better in the next 2 years over there?
Exactly. You have a minimum of six teams that have, I hate to say this, but better quarterbacks.
Where's Deshaun Watson going to end up? If he goes to the NFC, in my opinion, he's a better quarterback than Derek Carr. That's seven.
Yes. If Deshaun Watson clears all this, like if this clears itself, then if he stays or goes to Miami or goes something like, say the NFC, he is also better. With Carr, I think we've seen the ceiling.
Yeah, I think the ceiling is getting to last week and getting to the second round of the playoffs. And then, you know, then at that point it turns into which quarterback is going to make the plays and just be unreal. And I don't want to hear about the defense in the Kansas City Buffalo game. That was two elite quarterbacks going punch for punch. And Derek Carr's not on the level to do that, what we saw in that game. So, and if he gets in that kind of situation, he's going to need an elite defense. He's going to need that running back. He's going to need those weapons. He's going to need that offensive line. And like I said, this roster doesn't have all those pieces. And it might take 3 or 4 years to try to plug holes to get to that. It's not Derek Carr's fault that the roster's not at that level. That's just what he's going to need to succeed at that level.
Exactly. And I don't think he can will a team to win it all. Like, I don't see too many hop-on-my-back type of things from Derek Carr. It's more of like, let's all, like, hop in the same car and drive it, for lack of a term. But it's right there. Now, Do you have them just play out the contract and just say, you know what, just play out the contract? Or do you extend them for a couple more years? Like, do you, oh, let me rephrase that. Do you think the Raiders extend them for a couple more years?
I don't. At this point, I think, you know, kind of looking at the cap situation, I looked at it today. They have $29 million in cap space. They had some eating up. Max Crosby making the Pro Bowl jumped his base salary to $3.8 million next year. So the Raiders lost about $3 million in cap room there. Yeah, they can move numbers around and create more cap room. You know, I think if I'm Derek Carr, you know, the extension sounds great. Let's assume they can't get Devontae Adams, because I don't think they can. I think he's getting franchised. If they want to try to get him, it's $25 million a year. It's multiple draft picks that I don't think they can give up at this point. But why, if I'm Derek Carr, I'm probably going to bet on myself. Like, what better thing to do than play out this year at $19 million and then hit the market or get franchised next year? Like, or demand a trade next offseason? It's going to depend on who they hire as a coach and what direction this roster goes. But he's at a point in his career where if I'm Derek Carr, I'd say, you know what, let's run it back for one more year. I'm under contract. But I want to have the freedom that Tom Brady, that Aaron Rodgers, these guys have, where they're deciding, the Russell Wilsons, where they're going to finish out their career. And Derek should do that. He should try to play out one more year and then just be like, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore. The roster's not what I want. I want to go find the Tampa Bay that has the roster that Tom Brady needed. I want to go to Green Bay. I want to go to a roster that's much better than I have here with the Raiders to finish out his career. Like, there's no reason why he shouldn't want to do that, in my opinion.
Now, you mentioned Max Crosby's salary jumping to $3.8 million. Can you conceivably see Crosby signing a four-year, $64 million deal?
I think when we're talking about elite pass rushers at his age, he's probably going to want to lock in a 4 or 5 year deal to where he can hit the free agent market again at 29 or 30 before he gets into his early 30s. So you're probably looking at a 4 or 5 year deal with Crosby. I would think the market's going to be somewhere in that, you know, $17 to $21 million range. I think it might come in a little bit more than that. So I could see more like 4 years, $70 million. Somewhere around there with probably half of that guaranteed, you know, $30, $35 million guaranteed. So the Raiders are going to have to step up here and pay him. I think they should. He's earned it. He's going to be the dominant player on this defense for years to come. And they also have to go over and look at the other side and look at Hunter Renfrow, who's making $965,000 next year. I think he absolutely needs to be extended as well. And I've heard a lot of Raider fans come out saying, oh, they can get him for $7 or $8 million. He's a slot receiver. Hunter Renfrow on the open market would command somewhere in the neighborhood of $12 to $14 million, in my opinion. And he's not signing an extension at $7, $8, $9 million. So you just look around, like Nelson Aguilar got 2 years and $16 million. I'd much rather have Hunter Renfrow, and he's getting $13 million a year. So they're going to have to, you know, have a lot of cap space going to those two guys. And then what do you do with Waller? And, you know, I hear a lot of fans saying, oh, we're just going to cut people and get cap room. Well, I looked at the cap. There's only five guys on this roster that you can release with no dead money that would create at least $1 million in cap space. Their names are Derek Carr, who they're not going to do that with, Darren Waller, who they're clearly not going to do that with, Denzel Perryman, they're not going to do that with, the long snapper, Trent Siege, probably not going to release him. He got some all pro votes, and then Denzel Good. Denzel Good's the only guy in this roster that you can move on from and create about $4 million in cap room. But do they want to do that? You know, when healthy, he's a valuable backup or potential starting left guard. So the Raiders don't have a lot of options here to create a lot of money without kicking the can down the road, adding voidable years, which is why they're in this situation now, because that's exactly what they did with Littleton, Kwiatkowski, and Massive. And now they have to pay the piper at this point.
Now, when we come back from break, we're going to discuss the need for an outside receiver. You are listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, the Raiders are in dire need of an outside receiver, at least one, maybe a couple. Where do you see them attack? Because the thought is, or the dream is, Devontae Adams. I'd never see that happening. I don't see it happening. He's going to want to be the highest paid at $25 million. What do you think that the rational choice would be?
Well, I have some names here. I think Devontae Adams is a pipe dream. The only way that I see that happening is if Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay and Devontae Adams gets franchised and he basically says, no, I'm not playing. I'm not coming back, and forces their hand, and the Packers decide to go into a full rebuild. At that point, he's still going to cost you a minimum of a first and a third, and there's an outside chance that you could get two first-round picks for him. So unless the Raiders are ready to trade two first-round picks and give him a four-year, $100 million deal with $60 million guaranteed, it's not happening. You know, it's funny when you talk about outside receivers because, you know, when you talk to certain Raider fans, they want to disregard Hunter Renfro and Darren Waller and just say they have no weapons, when arguably they have Renfro, Waller, and Jacobs, which is pretty fine when you look around the league. But you want to talk about outside receivers. The Raiders, the fans want two things. They want separation and speed. Well, you're not going to get both of those, so you have to decide which one do you want. I think this is a great opportunity for them to get separation. They need an outside guy that can win quickly and win in the intermediate area, which they haven't had, which Derek Carr thrives in. They don't need the guy to take the top off the defense. If they're facing too high a lot, they need the guys to win underneath and in the intermediate area. So we just look at free agency. Allen Robinson, he's 28 years old. He's coming off. He's had 100 catch seasons, 1,000-yard seasons. I think he's an option. You know, Chris Godwin, if you bring him over from Tampa Bay, he's 26 years old, but he's coming off an injury. Mike Williams is a long shot for me because I just don't think he can create that quick separation. He's more of a 50-50 guy down the field. But a couple of names that do stand out, Odell Beckham Jr., say what you want about him. He's showing with the Rams right now that he can still play, and he can get open and create separation and has good hands. Michael Gallup, another young one, but he's coming off injury. DJ Chark is another guy, but he's more of a speed guy down the field. And then the one name I circled, Michael Thomas, and I tweeted out about this recently. Within the last hour, and a bunch of Raider fans think Michael Thomas is trash. Well, I got news for you. He's caught 149, 125, and 104 catches three of the last 4 years when he's healthy. He had an ankle injury. He's missed some time. Michael Thomas is exactly what this offense needs, a big outside receiver that can win inside on slants. He's got enough movement skills to get separation. He can win on a lot of quick routes. He can win down the field. He can win in the red zone. I don't know why Raider fans don't like Michael Thomas, but Michael Thomas, when he's healthy, is a top five receiver in the NFL. The Saints have a ton of cap issues. They don't have a coach. They don't have a quarterback, and they might be looking to move him to create a little bit of cap room. They have a big cap hit with him, but they can open up a couple million dollars by moving on from him, and you could probably get him at this point, I would think, for like a second and a fifth. I don't think it's going to cost nearly what it would cost to acquire Davante Adams.
I mean, the people are hung up on Davante Adams because he went to school at Fresno State with Carr, and they believe that that's enough. That's enough for them to draw that line. Davante Adams is not going to give the Raiders a discount.
No, he's not. And when you look at it, Davante Adams is going to he's already said he wants to set the market. So you're looking at least $25 million. Michael Thomas is under contract for 3 years at $49 million. So it's about $16.5 million for an elite outside wide receiver. You're going to save $10 million and potentially less draft capital. I don't know why you wouldn't do that. And he's younger. Don't forget, he's a year younger than Davante Adams.
I mean, it's just – it befuddles me the aspect of, oh, just get this guy, just get that guy. With folks without having the – understanding of how contracts work. You work in professional sports. Are you always amazed at folks on the outside who may not grasp the idea of being able to slot money into salary caps?
I do. A lot of times I think it's Madden. And the one thing about Twitter is you can make these comments, you can put out thoughts. You're character restricted. You can't put, you know, two paragraphs worth of explaining the idea. So you try to get as much as you can into a short space, and then everyone runs with it whatever way they want. Reading comprehension on the app is sorely lacking, and people just have an agenda and they want to run with it. So I do. I think there is, they don't understand, you know, how teams are built, what goes on really behind the scenes. You're trying to look for fit. You're trying to look for the best way you can acquire assets for the least amount to give up. So in my opinion, you know, Davante Adams, is he a better receiver right now than Michael Thomas? Absolutely. But if Michael Thomas is healthy, and you have to remember the injuries that he had, he sustained ankle injury while playing through injury for the Saints. It got misdiagnosed. He got hurt again right before training camp and had surgery. So it's not like this guy's been hurt his whole career. He had an ankle injury that he played through to help the team, and then it got misdiagnosed by the Saints doctor in the offseason, which is why he didn't have surgery until the summer. So I don't, you know, it's recency bias. He wasn't on the field the last 2 weeks, and Raider fans didn't see him running around catching 149 passes, so they immediately think he sucks. So, yeah, I would agree with that comment.
You mentioned OBJ, which actually, I mean, it now proves that it was Baker Mayfield, basically. It was Baker Mayfield. And Michael Gallup, I mean, that's another guy coming off injury. There's quality talent there. And I look at a guy, I think an outside receiver, and Bryan Edwards. Do you think he just is going to slide into that fourth receiver role? Is this his lot with this team?
Yeah, at this point, going into next season, the Raiders can't count on Bryan Edwards to be a starting outside wide receiver. He hasn't proven that he could do that for a variety of different reasons, some that aren't his fault, but he's not creating the separation he needs. The offense isn't tailored around the routes he wants to run that he wins at. Clearly, when you're talking about having Renfro, having Waller, and potentially another wide receiver out there, so he's going to be the fourth or fifth options in most progressions. I think he probably comes into camp fighting for a starting job. He probably slots in as a backup, which is unfortunate because I think he has talent. I think he can play. I just don't think he's in the right situation right now.
Now, how can people interact with you on social media and tell about the other podcast?
Yeah, they can reach out to me on Twitter. That the handle's at RHOLM22. And then I also do another podcast with Dwayne Douglas called the Put on Raiders podcast. We usually record on Wednesdays or Thursdays and have it out by the end of the week. So hopefully, we have some more stuff for you. You can watch that one on YouTube. And hopefully we have something out, like I said, hopefully by Friday this week.
One of the best content creators out there, Ryan Holmes. Thank you so much for joining us on the Full Press Raiders podcast.
Thank you for having me.
This has been another episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.